Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No. What?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
You're all gasmatics. You're all gasmatics. Sneaking in the back door with Teddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're all gasmatics.
Great.
That should be good. Oh, but yeah, that's my cue to get going, right?
Thank you for tuning into the Screw. Fuck you, Aaron. I hate you.
Oh, we're totally leaving this intro.
We're the most professional fucking podcast, okay?
For sure.
Thank you for listening to the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and her trusty, rusty sidekick.
Ayla, what's up?
This week, we are wrapping up our discussion on queer sex education, queer information given to the youth, if you will. And we are joined by a lovely guest, Haley Laidlaw, who is a current middle and high school counselor and former teacher in Denver, Colorado. So thank you for coming onto the show and welcome, Haley.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
It's so nice to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about, as opposed to people like us pulling stuff out of our asses. So we're very happy to have you.
Yeah, we try fair and balanced reporting here at the Screw Podcast.
Oh, like if yeah.
Yeah, first we talk a lot of shit. We tell you all sorts of misinformation. And then somebody comes and cleans up our mess. Yay.
Hey, yeah. I'm a Scorpio, so like, you know what's up.
So you get it. All of my parents are Scorpios, so it's pretty intense.
My parents are Pisces, so yeah, I understand water sign. Okay.
I'm a Sagittarius, but I'm right on that cusp of Scorpio. So is that a thing? That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm an Aquarian on the cusp of Pisces. I'm like the last day of Aquarius, so
well, cuspy. There we go.
I don't know shit about shit. All right. I also don't know about queer sex ed.
Astrology is really important to queer sex ed, I'm pretty sure. So
I think so too. Yeah. Me too. I mean, listen, just the fact that like my sign is like a dude fucking a horse or on a horse or half a horse or dick of a horse or something like that is very important to queer sex ed. So
I'm so glad we marked this as explicit content.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we are a sex podcast. We're not fucking fooling anybody with that.
Yeah, you know? Bestiality is just breakfast. Get over it, you know? I'm sorry. That's it's been a day.
Hey, I don't think we've really hit that particular topic yet on the show.
No, that'll be next month. Things that you can go to jail for. Yeah. There you go.
Breakfast topics.
Right. Yes, breakfast of champions right there. I love it. Well, thank you for coming on, Haley. And I don't necessarily know where we're going to start with questions, but I do know Aaron has a whole slew of them for you. So take it away, Aaron.
Oh, that's beautiful. there's all sorts of good segues. So you know what? I'm going to go off of, because, you know, it's fun to bounce around, the segue topic of bestiality, because bestiality is a problem of, oh no, I'll bring you there, I promise, is an issue of consent, right? And one of the documents we were looking over in these things that we kind of liked was this concept on consent. And my question around this is really like, in your experience, have you seen this like educated on well, or is this just kind of we're looking at the materials and the most wishful thinking, or do you think this is a conversation that's actually starting to happen with the youths?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I just want to make one thing clear. I was specifically not a sex ed teacher.
No, so that's fine.
Yeah, just want to make sure.
I'm asking from the kind of perspective of like a queer educator who is like definitely understanding and insensitive to these topics, like, you know, and like kind of what you heard through the grapevine kind of thing, or what you feel about the culture around this.
Yeah.
Do you feel this is something younger people are starting to understand? Because we've always talked about this, like, you know, you can't like explain consent after it's already a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's too late.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just wanted to say that for listeners. So, you know,
oh, hell yeah.
That this isn't necessarily my expertise, like sex ed, but queer shit is. So, gotcha.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, we're gonna tick all of your you know qualities and abilities. We're gonna use all of them.
Thank you. So yeah, being someone who grew up in Colorado schools, I can tell you that when I was growing up, I graduated high school in 2013, and my sex ed was fucking zero.
Wow.
Like truly nothing. Like we had a week, I remember in fifth grade, where we kind of talked about like periods and stuff like that. And like they segregated the classroom by gender. It's like girls sat on this side, boys sat on, which was like pretty common. I don't think that happens so much anymore. I fucking hope it doesn't, but it might.
Well, it's interesting because one of the documents we were reading, it looks like they only started kind of penning some of this stuff into policy and legislation in like 2013,
mm-hmm.
which would have been the year you graduated.
Yeah. So too bad for me. Luckily, my parents were really great, and
I got
a pretty good education from them. But yeah, it's definitely, I sort of was looking at those policies along like tangential to you, because I was kind of digging them up and I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, I didn't even know that
it was so explicit with a lot of this language, because it is, especially like the 2019 ones, that's pretty new. And
it got better with each iteration, we seem to.
As we were complaining about it then changed as we were reading the documents. We're like, this sucks. And we're like, oh, this is actually not so bad, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's encouraging to see. I will say that the pandemic has, I think, probably... so like these policies are made, right? And then they usually don't go into action till like a year or two later. And so 2019 was the most recent one. Pandemic hit. Who knows what the fuck happened? Probably not a lot. I mean, I think by just looking at like pregnancy statistics and that, we can know that just in general in the country, not a lot's been happening. And I do think the pandemic is part of that. But yeah, there's definitely a shifting culture in education. And I think that many school districts are focusing more, you know, early, even in, you know, I was delighted to see that there was stuff for like kindergarten. So that was encouraging to see. I am not sure how much accountability there is for sex educators.
That was going to be one of my questions, like, what is the checks and balances to see if these policies, because we know even in regular jobs, you know, there's policies, but half the people don't know them, or it hasn't been implemented yet, or they're doing it, but they're, you know, doing whatever they're comfortable with or whatever portion of it. So I was wondering if like, how are they making sure this is actually happening?
Right.
Yeah. So there are, I should have looked up. So in Denver Public Schools, there is a framework, and there's a similar one across the district or across the country, after No Child Left Behind,
teachers are evaluated on certain standards, some of those standards you read. Mm-hmm. So they are evaluated. I will say that, so sex education, health education in general falls generally into like PE teachers' hands.
Not like the science department.
Not in Denver. It's a lot of time it's the physical education.
I mean, I've heard that many times. Like, it's kind of very old school on some level. My PE teacher taught me, but like, I went to, you know, school in many different states, but one of them definitely like was hell bent that this was going to be part of every, you know, science curriculum that it made sense for, whether it was biology class or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. that the insurance was somewhere that they were going to get this information. But when I got to high school, it was like, if you didn't take the specific science class, you were not getting this sex education. Mm-hmm. It was not going to be a part of what you knew, because there was no kind of standard or follow-up, you know,
yeah.
back in the day.
Yeah, definitely.
And I, you know, probably graduated high school or didn't graduate high school, like a good, what, like 15 years before you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was like very interesting to hear like about, you know, these changes and like, you know, because it is like the culture of like everybody, whatever abbreviated version of non-comprehensive sex ed you had, it's like boys and girls giggling in the background when something considered risque for the time was brought up, even, you know, like penis, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody's giggling and you're like, but you're in ninth grade, why are you giggling at penis? Mm-hmm. And it's because there is no right. comfortability that's kind of like acculturated with starting at an earlier age. I mean, we know from human psychology and human sex that, you know, there's different levels of maturity for kids at what they can handle, and you pick an age appropriate one so they're not left stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There's no better way to say it.
Yeah, you know? And like kids be acting stupid all the time. Like I've primarily worked with middle schoolers, so that is mm-hmm. its own bag, for sure.
So what age was that, middle school?
Like, so that's like ages like 11 to 14.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a very awakening time period.
Yeah. Very boundary pushing time. Back to the question. I think that I will say in my experience, so like physical education is considered an elective, even though students do have to take it, but it's under the elective umbrella. And you know, there's no state standardized testing or anything like that for electives, which I could go on and on about standardized testing. So, but that's usually how teachers are like, quote unquote, held accountable, right? Is like test scores.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure how,
right.
like how that looks for a physical education teacher.
I saw their tracking sheet, but it seemed to be like this kind of only makes sense. Like, there was nowhere on there saying like what kind of department within the school should be accountable. There was like, you know, nothing that was really about reporting. It was just kind of about a checklist kind of situation, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, I think, you know, it becomes interesting because when we're trying, you know, to talk about like things like a consent-based culture, you know, it's like, can you turn to an eighth grader and say the word consent and have them understand, you know, age appropriately what that means?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like that's, I'm like, those are the changes I'm like hoping to see from like some of these kinds of policies, right?
I only left the classroom, meaning I only stopped being a teacher this past year. This is my first mm-hmm. year not being a classroom teacher. And I will say that even in my 5 years or so that I had teaching, I did see a shift in the use of language from mm-hmm. students, which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I wonder about how and where they found this language. I feel like it's not necessarily from reliable sources a lot of the time, especially post-pandemic, you know, like all the kids were just like on TikTok. And
right.
there's a lot of great stuff on TikTok and there's a lot of shitty stuff.
Absolutely. And I did definitely, I would say the like 2021 school year, I heard the word consent being kind of circulated a lot, but inappropriately.
This is that age group 11 to 14.
It's like a joke, right? It's like, I didn't give consent for them to talk to me, like that kind of stuff. Like,
right,
sure.
I don't give you consent, teacher, to look at me. You know, like,
oh, good Lord.
I get you.
So, that like challenging the boundary of what this means, which also is kind of age appropriate, yes, right? Like,
sure.
You know, and the hope is that they understand at the core what that means, yes, right? You know, and they're, you know, we haven't normalized that conversation yet. So it's still, I think, awkward for people, whether, you know,
I would say mocking is like the first step that kids that are testing boundaries do, right? It's like you mock it, you make fun of it, you throw it in people's faces inappropriately. And hopefully hopefully they go back and actually ponder like, okay, well, I'm being a dick about this. But at the end of the day, is this something that I'm actually taking into consideration in situations where it's appropriate to actually think about consent? Mm-hmm. Hopefully. I mean, little kids are little shits though. So it's one of the, sorry, I know you deal with them on a daily basis.
That kind of leads me to another question. Like, as a queer educator, you know, has one ever experienced like, everybody's out at different levels at work, you know, and like, that's certainly understandable and this may not apply to you, but like, you know, there's certainly queer students. I remember always like, trying to find that teacher I thought was queer just so I could say something, just so I could talk about something queer for a fucking second. Mm-hmm. You know, most of our life and education is so heteronormative. It feels, you spend most of the time feeling in a weird other place. So it's like, you kind of tune out. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, and I'm curious if you've ever like had experience or heard of the experience of like, you know, a queer student trying to talk, you know, to a queer educator about this and like kind of stuff and what kind of comfortability you think they would have, or does the culture of the school system still make that like a, no, you shouldn't talk to students about that at all. You know, I know political values play, but you know, when we're talking about employment, I certainly understand the restriction there as well.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I'm curious if it seems like, you know, very, like, oh my God, if I have this conversation on the side and anybody finds out, I'm in danger of like, losing my job kind of stuff.
So that was definitely, I think, kind of a narrative that was fed to me as someone, like when I was getting my degree and going through the program of becoming a teacher, it was big, like, never share your political beliefs, never, you know, that kind of thing. And of course. Then I like got into schools and I was like, fuck that shit. Like, I'm at a school that is like 98% Latine. I need to make sure my students know I didn't vote for Donald fucking Trump, you know?
Right.
Like, if I want them to have even an iota of respect for me, like, I need to make that clear. Yeah. And absolutely. I've always felt pretty supported in Denver public schools during the time I worked there in that regard. Mm. I also will say that I was a little less, fearful of like parent pushback because many of the parents that I worked with are immigrants. Many of them are undocumented and they just have a very different relationship to school and to like authority figures, especially from the countries they're from. So there's just not as much of a like challenge culture there.
Sure.
So there's pros and cons to that, you know.
So what you're saying is the white bitches are the assholes.
Yes. If I'm speaking with a white child,
That's when I feel nervous.
Right? I was going to say, that would probably be when I would be on guard the most. Like, ah, yep. Shit.
Some mama or papa or mamas or papas are going to come in and, like, fucking, you know, Karen and Ken the fuck out of you, you know? Yeah. And that's, I've heard that story even amongst professors in college that deal with white kids, parents, all the way up through the college level. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is some sort of, like, I mean, we know what it is. We know, like, privilege is influencing that, obviously. But, like, you know, I would be scared, you know? I would be, I always say, like, when I've been out smoking pot, like, I'm always looking for white women with babies because I feel like they're the first ones that are going to fucking tell the cops that motherfucker over there, like the most policing kind of demographic in some ways. Mm-hmm. So that does make me nervous. Yeah. As well.
Yeah. I would just say, like, kind of going back to the question again.
We're good at detracting.
Yeah, me too. I have terrible ADHD. I mean, my ADHD is awesome, but it's intense.
You're doing way better than we do.
Yeah, so I sort of always, like, kind of have it in my mind of, like, what's, like, if this does blow back, like, with parents or whatever. Sure. I know that I am providing students accurate and safe information, and I am not doing anything detrimental to them by providing information. And if you are a person who thinks that is wrong, I don't care. So,
hell yeah.
Too bad, so sad. I don't know. And, you know, like, frequently with queer children, especially, you know, like at this age, a lot of them, like, aren't even out to their parents. So the conversations we have are, they definitely aren't sharing them, especially, you know, students of color and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
So it is scary. I will say I came out as transgender, non-binary at the end of 2020, kind of. I wasn't, like, hiding my sexuality before then, really, but I definitely didn't express it, like, if, you know.
Sure.
But, and also, I look the way I look, like, for listeners, I have
which is a fucking, awesome.
Yeah, I'm really cool looking. And like,
I look,
but I'm, like, very visibly queer. So it's like, even before I came out, it was like students who I'd never met would just, like, come up to me, and I'm like, hey, I don't know you. You're obviously gay, and that's why you're talking to me.
Right.
It was coming out at work was pretty scary, honestly, and I did not have support from my school leadership team at all. It was, frankly, a really hostile environment.
Bummer. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's very performative. So they would, you know, on the face, they would say, like, oh, yeah, we support everyone. Meanwhile, they still, they didn't desegregate lunch by gender until last year. So I'm like,
really?
Yeah.
And that's
lunch,
like,
was segregated by gender?
Yeah.
That's some 1950s shit right there.
Fucking right. I came in at, like, when I started at the school, I was like, so can you, because I worked at a different school. Well, I worked at a school that was closed, that was literally in the exact same building. So exact same population. My first school didn't do that. And I was like, hey, why do we do this? And they were like, oh, no, it's just how we always do it. I'm like, okay, but why?
Oh, because we're helping the system ensure gender roles remain in place.
Yeah. I'm like, what, you think they're going to, like,
and they're like, well, we let, you know, non-binary kids, if they want to move, they can get up and move if they raise their hand. I'm like, okay, so they just have to, like, fucking out themselves. Everyone in the lunchroom.
Right.
So,
oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I would still say, in that sort of mindset, that it's still, schools are very performative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
I was going to actually ask about that because I was wondering, I know a lot of, I mean, I'm very old, but back in the day, sometimes they would separate the classes by gender for sexual education or health class or whatever the hell it is. And I was wondering, you know, how Colorado, for example, handled that. And it sounds like probably, I don't know, actually, why don't you answer that for me?
As far as I know, there's no policies that state explicitly that you can't. I think it is, you know, like, told to us as best practice to not separate students by gender in general. You know, that's something that is told. And definitely feedback that I think most teachers receive. And it happens all the time still. Like boys versus girls. And not necessarily like in sex education, but like in math class. Like we're playing a game. Boys on this side, girls on that side, and
oh yeah, and PE so we were archaic. Always segregated.
Yeah,
that's
you,
so.
You archaic. Would be playing the same sport, but like have to be like, okay, the boys are playing soccer over here, and the girls are playing soccer over there.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what is this? Is this real?
Yeah,
is this still really real?
It's still really real, and yeah.
Shit, man, MTV Real World was on television back then. I thought we were gonna learn. Like,
I know.
I was sitting here praising how fucking progressive Colorado school system was, and you know, here I am finding out.
But that's the thing. I mean, like you're always connecting things. Like we got two things, right? You have like policymakers who are very, you know, oftentimes good intentioned and saying, you know, maybe in especially around sex education, working with public health leaders to say, what is the best way to like try to like curb some of these like numbers in our stats, right? Whether it be rape or unwanted pregnancy or whatever, right? Or STIs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're looking at those things and saying, well, we clearly need to shift the policy, and everybody's been saying for fucking decades it needs to be younger, it needs to be fucking more comprehensive, and so on and so forth. But like, then you're backing up against like, you know, the kind of whole social construct problem that is like still very prevalent in how power like divides us and segregates us and takes away our ability to feel connected to one another. You have them saying, yeah, but you know, like, why don't we just like wait and see, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if people start demanding it, maybe we'll do it. But like, but more importantly, like there is this kind of like purposeful, like defiance sometimes on the ground, because what is it? Informed people like see the world differently, right? Mm. And information is a huge source of power. That's why education is so contentious, like especially on the local level. Like what values, which is not what education is about, but that gets like inserted in the conversation. What values do we want our school district to have?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, and what resources? And then, you know, how much information are we giving? And, you know, there's some pretty dumb fucking school districts out there that create dumb fucking people that grow up to be dumb fucking adults. And some of them have power and some of them don't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you know, that ends up being tied to what their family was like and what later access they had, right?
Yeah.
I you know, and I think, you know, thank you for sharing, you know, like this is, you know, the reality is, you know, there are a lot of good intention people around like, let's do policy or whatever, but like implementing it and then actually having, you know, it be a effective program, you know, it takes so long to get these things passed and get support around them. And then like, well, you're not even evaluating if the program is effective. You're just so happy it fucking is there, you know, because you fought that long for it, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, thank you for also sharing your experience with coming out there. Because, you know, I mean, again, in the 90s, I can't remember how many stupid TV movies or whatever were about, like, queer educators that were outed and then terminated or even worse, you know, like, essentially lynched out of town, you know. And so, like, you know, it's unfortunate that still today it does seem like such a, you know, intense thing to do. Like there is some personal risk that you're putting on the table. So, you know, that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. It's definitely a lot. I was very reticent to do it for a long time, but I was inspired by, I took a class for, it was literally called Queering Education. The professors were fucking amazing. So cool. But I did a reading and they had an excerpt out of they were talking about the harm of like cisnormativity in schools and, you know, like how serious it can be, and talked about briefly Matthew Shepard, and sort of ended on a quote from Matthew Shepard's mother a couple years after his murder. She did a call to come out. So it was, she specifically like asked for adults to like come out, because if there were, she was like, maybe if there were more healthy, like,
you know,
we role could, models, yeah, role models,
representations, yeah,
right, representation, yeah.
And I was like, god damn it, it just like really hit me, and I was like, yeah, I really see like how much, like, I was that kid, like you were saying, like looking out at, like, I'm like, oh, I think that teacher might have tattoos, like,
right,
totally,
and totally. I was like, you know, I'm basically like have a flag on me all the time, so like I'll just do it. And yeah, it really, even though it was difficult with the adults that I worked with, the children that I worked with at the time were just fucking incredible. Like, they really were. Like, the kids are way better than adults. So.
Well, they haven't been fucked up by all this, like, you know, constructs yet, right? It hasn't really seeped into their brains, all that robotic training that we learn around these things, you know? And that is like the crux of what you were saying. You know, I've never really been like, oh, you know, you have to come out. Cause like, you know, I think that there's a lot of risk for a lot of people, and like, you know, feeding yourself and keeping a roof over your head is definitely like very important. So I would never ask somebody to sacrifice that for like coming out, or like if they're in threat of violence or anything like that. However, you know, it is always like, where do we start? And I don't even want to say normalizing, but de-shaming like queer for young people, so they don't have to go through that same category of stress and trauma that a lot of us have had gone to, you know. And I do still think very much so information is an important part of that, especially from somebody that they trust, like an educator or somebody they identify with, like, you know. And we've put this like weird little barrier around young minds because it is politicized. How much we teach people is how much they will reject the current systems and constructs that we have, which many people definitely don't want to change, right? Yeah. So, you know, I think it's tough because when they are young, they always get it. They always get it.
They always get it.
I remember being in high school and middle school and just being intrigued and interested with our teachers' spouses or relationships or partners, or, you know, I remember trying to, you know, giggling with my friends and being like, is she gay? Is she queer? Is this teacher gay? Is he queer? You know, and in an inquisitive way, not in a, you know, we want to out you and shame you. Yeah. Just more so like just general intrigue. I remember one of my teachers was proposed to over the intercom, for example. So I think it's so fucking cool to have, I think it's so cool to have a teacher, whether you came out, you know, more recently or not, like you said, you are, you know, you have a flag on you. So I think it's so cool to see that representation be expressed in a school setting where, whether you say it or not, kids are like, oh, okay, I'm not alone here. You know, I think that's such a fucking beautiful thing. Whether they come to you and they ask you questions, or they just look at you from afar and they're like, I know, and you don't know, but I know. And, you know, all of that. I think it's just, it's beautiful. So I personally like want to thank you for being that for students, just because I know I would have appreciated it. In my high school or middle school experience, you know?
Thanks.
Definitely. Yeah. Do you know, in general, I know this is something that was like big in college, and I think Felicia and I implemented one at our college, but like the kind of safe zone, like project education with like the teachers putting the signs on the door if they're comfortable to talk, or, you know, that it's okay to talk to them about who you are, kind of thing. I don't know if that ever seeped into the high school and like younger levels.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely did. So I'll say at my school that I worked at the majority of my time as a teacher. So I started our school's first GSA, Gay Straight Alliance.
Nice.
We changed the name to be more inclusive because that's weird. So yeah, yeah, yeah. We called it Hope Club.
We just what was that?
Hope Club. So it stands for human rights, open mindedness, pride, and equity. And kids came up with that.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So we started it, like that's how we got changes for like desegregating lunch and that kind of stuff. And beautiful. The safe zone stuff wasn't really like a school. There was like, I think like the counselors, like the social worker had it like on her door maybe. But okay. I noticed, I was like, hey, no one really has anything signifying that they're like a safe person to talk to. So I went through like all this work of like I made, and there was also lots of problems with, it still blows my mind that kids say that's gay. I'm like,
that's still a fucking thing?
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's so gay.
Sorry. Right?
But not in a good
way. Not good gay, okay?
Yeah, not good gay. And like, yeah, so, and I got this little, like, I made these little, like, handbooks for, like, when you hear, like, homophobic comments in the hallways, here's how you can address them. Like, and... Nice. I remember putting them in, it was probably like 40 teacher mailboxes, and I saw them there like until, so that was like 2019. I saw some of them there still when I left in 2022.
Jesus Christ. That's depressing.
So, yeah.
Even more of a reason for the existence of teachers, you know, identifying safe spaces, that they're a safe person to come out to, counselors, whoever, yeah. You know, that's even more of a reason why what you did is so freaking important, seriously.
Yeah, I agree. And it's something, you know, that, you know, people need to keep pushing for, you know, like, you know, thing is like, you know, if there's all these queer couples who are having kids and raising kids now, like start joining your local school boards and start influencing some of the way these discussions are happening, because most of it is like not anywhere near where we need to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and like, first of all, would start with like helping the culture of the educators feel comfortable actually being queer and out at work, you know, mm-hmm. and not fearing their employment is at stake for these kind of things. And then, like, don't you want the other little kids not to be fucking bullying your little kids? This doesn't happen until everybody is kind of normalized into the idea that this ain't a thing. Mm-hmm. Not like the world is heavily queer.
Yeah.
It just is. Sorry.
Yeah. And one thing I will say is I wonder about how much of a part like pandemic played into it, but kids these days are fucking gay. Like, it is. Yeah. Like they're
doing TikTok.
Yeah. And they're so, like, you know, last year when I was running Hope Club, I just remember being amazed by, you know, we started every meeting with a connection circle and we introduced ourselves with our names and pronouns, and just nice. Like how many kids are like, any pronouns, whatever. And I'm like, that is so fucking sick. Like, I'm
that's so cool.
Like, they're like, gender is so fake. Like, and
I'm like, you're like, gender is so 2019, bitch. Like, yeah. Let's go. Snap.
They're like, I don't know what that is. They're like, whatever. And I was just like, that is so fucking cool. And there's just, the increase I've seen in that is huge, and something to be celebrated, I think, and makes me feel hopeful.
That's awesome. See,
boots on the ground. That's the best kind of way to get information. Like, you know, that's actually, you know, it's encouraging, you know? And I mean, I've always said my hope for the human race and like my worry is like how technologically connected everybody is these days. But, you know, for those that are like savvy and young, like your connection to information is way more available than it ever has been. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, a lot of it is shit information. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're at least getting exposed to things, right?
Yeah.
And some of it is awful, sure, you know, and it's definitely, that's very different from like previous generations. Your easy access to pornography and unrealistic ideas about sex and people is definitely also there influencing you more than it influenced us. But we used to have to walk into a library and like go and do the Dewey Decimal shit and like try to find out the one book they had in the dusty section. And of course, it was just labeled homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. Listen, looking up chlamydia in an encyclopedia just hits different.
It does.
Aged me real quick. Yeah. like going onto my word processor and typing in like ejaculate and then giggling at the definition. That's a whole thing I did. So it's interesting, yeah. You know, the proximity to information and what comes of that. Some of it's bad, some of it's good, but also, like you said, just exposure in general can be very helpful. Even again, it's not always good exposure, but the exposure's there. And it's like, this exists. Just the acknowledgement of exist, you know, how many, I feel like even just a few years back, I heard so many stories of, I've never heard of, you know, trans people before. I live in the Midwest. That wasn't a thing. And it's just like, that's a reality that a lot of people face that don't have access to said exposure, if you will, to the existence of anything beyond their little bubble. So it's pretty gnarly. It's interesting both ways, you know. My question is, because of the different roles you've had within the school system, have you had kids come to you and ask you specifically like sex education things that they were lacking the knowledge of? Or do you think that it's just the general awkwardness of it in that age group would keep kids from doing that?
I was approached about it frequently. Am approached about it frequently. And I think I give off good vibes. I was told by a child today that I'd only met once before in passing, that they trust me with their life. And I was like, cool, thank you.
Instant chills right now. Oh my god,
thank you.
I would cry. I would have been like, and I trust you.
I've had it, so in the classroom setting, it's a lot different. I taught English language development, which is an interesting subject. So I worked with non-native English speakers primarily and, you know, build up their English language skills. We kind of talked about everything because the content is language, not...
Right.
So, you know, I was always like very open to questions. And a lot of times... So, you know, I'd get a lot of like boys raising their hand and asking super silly questions like, what happens when someone wants to stick a penis in your butt, but you have to poop? And it's like,
that's a great question.
Yeah. And like raising their hands, they get loud in front of the class. And I'd be like, okay. I was like, do you want to talk about this? Is this what you want to talk about? Because I will.
Right.
I will. I'm like, nice. I can talk about poop, pee, butts, penises, vagina. Like that was like my day one like speech. I was like, here is your time to like get some questions out. So, you know, there was a lot of that. And most of the time, like as soon as they were like, oh, they're going to actually say those words, I'm freaking out now because it was, you know, boundary pushing.
To be provocative.
Yeah. Mostly boys.
That would have been me in your class, by the way. I would have definitely asked a provocative question.
And like honestly, like, I love those kids. I'm like, you are such a pain in my ass, but you're so legitimately funny also. So like, I have to appreciate it. I'm like, you're completely derailing the class, but that was really funny. So
I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one.
I mean, recently in my counseling role, it's come up a lot more, I think, because I am having more private conversations. And it just kind of so happened that very recently, like less than a week ago, I was speaking with a non-binary student, and I was like, you know, like, what's on your mind? You know, what's going on? And they were like, really feeling bad about, they were like, I'm having these like intrusive thoughts, these horrible things. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, feelings about like hurting yourself or, you know, cause they said like, oh, like these really graphic thoughts. And like, we talked about some of that stuff before. And they were like, no, they're like, it's like sex stuff. And I was like, oh, I was like, okay. And they were like, isn't that weird? And I was like, no, you're 13. But it was really interesting.
And it's going to get worse.
Like, that is literally what I said to them. I was like, my dear, I was like, let me tell you. I'm like, but it was interesting. They kept saying, like, they said a couple times, they were like, I'm only 13. I have no right to be having these thoughts.
Oh, geez.
And I thought that was so, it was really sad. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's so interesting. And I was like, why do you not have a right? And they were like, well, it's for adults. I'm like, tell me more. And, you know, I was like, first of all, your classmates, you have classmates who are having sex. They might be in the bathroom right now.
It's more than
that. Would have also been
them.
Me. Yeah. That would have also been me.
And, you know, and they were, I think, also kind of struggling with some like bi erasure also, because they're non-binary and were like, well, I'm kind of like identified as a lesbian, but sometimes I think about boys. And aww. I'm like, yeah,
it happens.
It happens. I'm like, this might stick around, it might not. I'm like, the cool thing about our identities is that they change all the time and we're the only people in charge of them. So
beautiful.
So yeah, it's, so that was from like a 13, 14 year old. So that told me a little bit about, you know, how much education they've had. And, you know, I asked, I was like, do you talk about sex at home? And they were like, well, I don't have a reason to. I'm like,
yes, you do.
Yes, you do. I'm like, clearly you do. Like, right. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to text you some videos when you get home. Watch them with headphones on if you want. Just like, you know. Some like kind of like basic crash course stuff. And I was like, and then we'll kind of like go into this deeper, you know, later. But it's, I'm like, I promise you're not wrong to be having sexual thoughts at the age of 13.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, I always find in conversations, people think and say things like this. And then I immediately say, were you not 13? Mm-hmm. Or like, are you just denying the whole reality of like your history in terms of these subjects? Like,
I think people get instantly nervous that when you talk about a child's sexuality, you're implying that there's some sort of sexualness to a child. And it's like, these are mutually exclusive thoughts here. Like, these have nothing to do with one another. Children are sexual beings. It doesn't mean that you're sexually attracted to children just by acknowledging that. I think that's a big fear of that people have, is like, if I talk about kids,
thinking about sex. It's like, weren't you a kid though? Didn't you have these thoughts? Like, don't, what the fuck? You know, people get very nervous about this topic.
And there's no line in the sand for like that particular individual. You know, I like was obviously like what some would call way more precocious, like early awakenings, early acknowledgement of my body and like the things that felt good or that I was curious about, you know, and it was definitely ahead of most of my classmates. Just from conversation on the schoolyard, they didn't knew jack shit. And yes, my parents were very open in educating me about sex and like, you know, didn't discourage me from exploring it on myself for whatever age was appropriate, you know, and like those conversations are supposed to evolve as the child leading, not the adult leading and telling you, no, you can't think about this until you're 13 or 14 or 18, you know, like if you're already thinking about it, how do you like, you know, whether you're 12 or 14, it's, kids are going to come at some of these kind of feelings at different times. Hormones are incredibly unreliable. So, like,
well, we all know what kids do when you tell them not to do something. It's just 13-fold after that.
Like, yeah. Right, exactly.
They're like, well, I wasn't thinking about sex, but now that you told me not to, I'm going to, because it sounds like something everybody else is thinking about. You
how
know?
Would they not like, realize that yet? Like, you know, you don't talk about sex and I know nothing about it. So now I'm going to go out and do it. And end up pregnant or with STIs or in an uncomfortable, like traumatizing situation, which is a lot, especially for queer kids, is a lot of the experience of coming through the sexuality process is like ending up in huge power differential relationships or situations or like not even, you know, fuck conversation about consent. Like I'm not even allowed to be who I am. So, like, you know, how do I understand myself in the context of deserving this consent conversation? You know, we're like so many steps behind in that de-shaming process for young individuals, especially queer individuals, to get to understand and explore their sexuality. It's like, I'm already dealing with that. I'm not thinking about the right person or the right gender or whatever, you know, like, how am I supposed to actually be healthy around this and feel good about myself in it? And like hearing you have that kind of conversation is like, oh, you're a godsend. I'm an atheist, but you're a godsend. You're a queer godsend. You know, so like, it's kind of like, you know, those are the things I, you know, would love to see there be a culture for letting happen, you know, and, you know, politically speaking, you know, I'm like, fuck it. We have to take care of our community and figure it out amongst ourselves because we're letting institutions, if we let them do it, we're going to keep seeing young traumatized queer kids. And they're not going to like have that opportunity of a real chance at happiness on many levels and fuck happiness, pleasure, you know, like pleasure is tied to happiness, is it not? Like, you know, already at shame for identity. Now we have to be at shame for our idea of considering pleasure, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
This has been an awesome conversation, Felicia Rose.
Oh yeah, no, it was, this is my only, I only have like, I feel like you answered everything in a very like, you know, honest way where it's sort of up to the teacher in a lot of the, in a lot of senses, as far as like, especially in these one-on-ones, you know, most of the time if a kid is coming to have a one-on-one convo, they're probably not going to like report you upward to somebody in any, not that you would need to be, but it sounds like, you know, you can kind of, as a teacher, especially in, you know, these cities and whatnot, you can have sort of your own judgment when it comes to speaking to kids. And I guess I never realized that because in my head, I'm just thinking about teachers that would never dare have those conversations with me. But there are teachers that have identified, hey, I'm a safe space. You can come chit chat with me about whatever. You want to talk about how to put a condom on because the health class didn't really go over it properly. Let's do that. Here's what a dental dam is. You know, like that kind of stuff. It's kind of groundbreaking in my head because I always think of it as teachers aren't allowed to talk to kids about anything, you know? So it's very enlightening to hear that you're able to have these, you know, one-on-one convos that, especially now, obviously, but even before, where, you know, students trusted you and you trusted the students, you know?
Yeah, it's, Yeah, it's about, you know, it's kind of like a buzzword, I guess, but it's like, it's about relationship building. And
sure.
But I mean, it is. And, you know, definitely varies teacher by teacher. It, you know, sometimes it's good that it's left up to the teacher. Sometimes I'm like,
yikes,
who's holding them accountable, you know, like it's like, ooh, I subbed for this class and I can tell things are not great going on in here. I'm like, the vibes are bad, y'all. So yeah, honestly, part of why I left classroom teaching is because I did feel stifled by the education system. Like, I did not have time at all to spend with students like I do now, because I was bogged down by just so much bullshit, like standardized testing, you know, like just like grading, like all this stuff that truly does not matter. Like,
right.
Like, especially in middle school, I'm like, this shit does not matter. It does not matter. And it was harmful for me to see this need, like, gosh, kids need like a lot of this kind of stuff. And I'm an adult, but I have 120 students I'm seeing every day and having, you know, one-on-one conversations with them that takes up the 45-minute break I get the entire day.
Right. That must be heartbreaking to not be able to do more in that setting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it felt really bad to like not be able to do that stuff. So it's partially why I left, and I'm really grateful to work in an organization I work in now that is, I have a lot of support and I have a lot of autonomy in these kind of like conversations.
That's awesome.
I'm a trusted professional, which is rare.
Right. I feel like. Right. I was going to say.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, given the way like a lot of this, you know, even in some of the materials that we were reading, there is this just like nervousness in general of like making sure we cover all of our bases, almost like a liability worry, in which they don't trust you all to understand what is appropriate. Like giving like examples of what is appropriate and not appropriate to say for an educator who is like already understands that is showing you really how much you think of them.
Yeah. Right. You already got the job. You should already be trusted with the information. Exactly. It's kind of a backward situation.
You don't see that happen in a lot of other kind of professionalized settings other than teaching. Like, it is kind of like a very unique neutering they try to do to teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild how, just not trusting me to do my fucking job. It's like, well, I'm here every day. Like, you know, but.
Shout out to the teachers.
Shout out to teachers.
You're awesome. Thank you for teaching.
Thank you. I do my best.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say, is just thank you. It's so fucking cool to, you know, again, I forget that the next generation of teachers are people even younger than myself. So it's so cool to see what this, you know, what kids have access to out there is just exactly what I fucking needed. So I don't know. I just,
and way cooler.
Thank you for teaching.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's very kind.
Felicia, I realize we're so used to like telling people like, hey, pimp yourself out. Where can people find you?
Oh, right. Like, well, I mean, you can pimp yourself out if you'd like, if you want people to
find you. Or if you think there's any events or causes or anything people should know about, you know, for sure.
Yeah. You can, I'm part of being freed from the traps of the education system is I actually enjoy my hobbies now. I started an art Instagram. So if any of y'all are like into doing a an art challenge, an X-Men art challenge right now. It's very gay. So yeah, you can find me on Instagram at mxesart, mxesart. And yeah, just you know, support kids, love kids, trust them, they're fucking cool. They can be shitheads, but being like in the trenches with them, I do feel hopeful for like the next generation, I guess. Oh,
that's really fucking awesome to hear. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds like really cool to be like a queer teen right now.
I think it is for sure. Like, even like, you know, I have a student in high school who, you know, is cisgender, but she's like, I noticed that the gender neutral bathrooms are always fucking locked. And she's like, she's making a big stink about it at her high school. And
that's awesome.
Like, that's so great. Like,
like, fuck yeah.
I'm just like crying all the time. I'm like,
that would be me.
I'm like constantly crying. I'm like, I'm just so proud of you.
Yeah, I would awesome. Lose my shit every day. I'd just be like, thank you for talking to me about this. I'm so proud of you. You know, all that.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome. I mean, imagine being a teenager and caring about more than yourself. That's fucking unheard of. And like nowadays it's not. Nowadays it's cool to help out,
be part of causes,
get involved and give a shit. And not because you're getting credit for it or it's counting toward gym class or whatever the fuck weird shit you used to be able to do. I remember
because it's the right fucking thing to do.
Yeah, that shit is fucking awesome. And you know, I was gonna say God bless the youth of America. Not what I wanted to say at all, but okay, whatever.
I'm really bringing God into this episode. So I guess
I said Jesus like 12 times.
Me, I don't know.
That's because educators are like gods, are they not? You're shaping the young minds of the next generation.
I'll take it.
Well, thank you again, Haley, for being on The Screw.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Hell yeah, we should have you on in the future.
More often.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, I would like to actually, you know, follow up with you at some point and check in and see, you know, any new experiences that you want to talk about as a counselor. And since it's so new for you now, I'd be so interested to see what it's like in maybe even a year from now. So we'll definitely have to follow up with you in the future. And thank you again for being on. You really gave us some insight that I really wasn't expecting. So it was pretty awesome.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, seriously. It was super cool. Awesome. I definitely echo that sentiment for sure.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Awesome.
See y'all next time, motherfuckers.
That's how we'll end that one.
Oh my God.